saying to go about the airline children being Negro. Is that true?
Yeah.
Was it all?
No, I never
minded anything. You know, there's some people different. You know, you can see it show up on some of them. But it's not like it was in Champaign, Danville, a place like that.
You know, as
you're not a teenager, you could be dressed up in your best suit and have $5 or $10 in your pocket. And you couldn't eat any place in Champaign.
Take that old fella running that restaurant just west of the IC Depot is now on the north side of the street there. He's a foreigner, but darn, he wouldn't feed a fella in there. He wouldn't feed me. Or a haircut or a shave or eat any place in Broadland, Eller, any of these towns around here. 3 barbers now, I can go to and get a haircut.
But same way up Champaign, Danville, all these larger places, like go to the theater, why? Yeah, sit up in one corner and take just as much as anybody else would.
Yeah.
Here we was always just a little too far from the city, and there's very few colored people ever coming out here and wanted to work on the farm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think where Buffalo is. It's exactly east.
East of Springfield.
East of Springfield. On 36. In between Decatur and Springfield.
Where had your father been prior to Springfield?
Why, he was in Tennessee. That's where he originally from. I can get the book, let's read it.
Oh, you have a book on the back.
Mm-hmm.
He's 83 years old.
83, I was gonna ask you how
I didn't know counties did that.
Oh yeah, there's one for every county in the state.
See, that was in 86.
This is a
this book probably was
printed in 86.
Yeah, this would be the first edition. You know, thing that, I bet they have some interesting. Yeah.
So they came up from Tennessee and right after the Civil War to Springfield, and your father was a woodcutter.
That's what?
A woodcutter, did you say?
Chopped wood for first milk cow.
What is that?
Springfield says.
No. What's first milk cow?
Milk cow. Get milk out
of it. Oh, yeah,
where you bought the first cow. Chopped wood.
Oh, I see. And he farmed down in Springfield.
Just some small farm.
Yeah. And then moved up to this area.
Some shipped a home and moved out across the prairie. Water and wagon bed moved across the prairie south of Homer.
Mm-hmm. He moved out in a covered wagon?
No, I just shipped a Homer and then just come out, got out part way and then stay on that and come on the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Shipped out on train.
There was no town here at that particular time, was there?
No, the headquarters out here, half mile north, mm-hmm. on the east side of the road.
Why do you call that the headquarters?
That was the man come from Ohio, I think, and this tract of land was owned by several different fellows. They all failed. And finally, heirs of Jacksonville got a hold of it, and they put the son up here, Ian Rayner, and he sold out in small tracts mm-hmm. to farmers.
Small tracts of about 80?
80 acres on them. A lot of them just 80. My father bought an 81st.
Mm-hmm. That's the location that we were at, is that it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what did he farm on? What did he do on that particular farm?
Sir?
What did he farm there? Grain and cattle and?
Yes, cattle, hogs, and general farming.
Horses in those days.
Horses.
And he grew horses, or he raised horses then?
No, just farm horses, mm-hmm. maybe a driving horse.
Mm-hmm. What about the schools? Were there schools?
Sir?
Schools?
Schools?
Yeah.
Yes, it was a school a mile and three quarters from the place.
Little one room fairly?
Yes.
Lonsdale.
I graduated.
Did you go to that?
Yeah.
They did.
When I was an eighth grader, just five of us in
in the grade one. Two of us in eighth, me and another girl in eighth grade, and my sister and another girl and fellow in the third grade. Mm-hmm. So the next year, just three students, so then they closed.
What, did you raise the grain to sell to some elevator company or
yes.
whatever,
mm-hmm.
some grain company?
Grain. Paul Kuhn, he's the buyer here, and then Harry Allen. The buyer had two elevators. There's been three or four burnt here
mm-hmm.
in time.
Well, Champaign-Urbana wasn't much of a area in 78 either, was it?
No, not very large then.
The university was there about 25 some years, is that
right? I remember when there wasn't kind of local, there wasn't much between Champaign and Urbana.
Mm-hmm.
And also when East Side Park there, south, west of the Burnham Hospital, is just little trees.
Mm.
As long when I was probably 10, 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of that park now?
Still West Side, East Side Park, is it? What's that right?
I couldn't tell you.
East Side, you know, park right by the doctor's building. Still
I guess, it, yeah, I see.
East Side Park, right by the corner of borders Healy and Springfield. Mm-hmm.
Do you have some interesting little tidbits and points of information that might be interesting about this area and about life here, farming and or anything else?
Well, when I was a boy, we farmed all the horses
mm-hmm.
and mules. Then along, I don't remember what year we got tractors, began to get a few tractors. But during my farming days, why? I didn't use a tractor much.
When did you retire from farming?
57.
Mm-hmm. That's a good many years.
Yes. Yes, I moved to town here, built this house in 57, and moved here in December.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you have a lot of brothers and sisters who also worked on the farm?
I'd, let's see, it was half-brother and one other brother, I guess, that worked on the farm. Mm-hmm. Had one brother that was a lawyer, and one was a civil engineer.
Where was your brother, the lawyer? Where was he?
Omaha, Nebraska.
So he moved
that's
out.
Where he graduated. I mean, that's where he had his office. He graduated from Wilberforce, Ohio. Then my brother Walter, the next older brother, he graduated twice at U of I, mm-hmm. Literature and Arts and Civil Engineering.
Where did he go?
He went to South America and stayed 5 years and come back and went to Chile and stayed a couple and then traveled over the United States for a building firm in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 29, I believe,
mm-hmm.
New York City.
Is your brother the lawyer still living?
No, he died in 1912.
Oh.
Soon after my father. My father died December 29th, 1911, very New Year's Day, and he died on Decoration Day.
Mm-hmm. Who is that, your father, you say?
My father, he died 1911, December 29th.
That's what I thought you said. I was noticing that here they said it was came to Springfield with General John A. McClernand.
Yes, that was his father, I think. Or, I see McClernand. He comes to Springfield with him, I think.
Yeah.
I lived there for a while,
yeah.
But
yeah, it's interesting because when we were over in Menard County, we came across a thing in the for a meeting. John McClernand, I think he was the guy who started the Grand Army of the Republic or something.
He's an officer in the army.
Yeah.
Yes. He took care of his horse, I think, and. Then come Springfield and took care of his farm for a while out west of Springfield.
Said he was with him for his 13 years.
Sir?
Said he was with him for 13 years here.
Yes.
Well, in the same area, I guess. This is Mary Eliza. That would be your grandmother then, wouldn't it?
Which?
Mrs. Mary Eliza Gaines.
No, that was my mother.
She married twice.
She married first time, her son, the first marriage was A. Gaines.
Oh, I see.
He's a farmer.
Was he around here too?
Yes, 2 miles and a half north.
Oh.
Where, why don't you order it from the
paper? Oh, I see. Yeah, see, they came in 1848, or started out here.
So how many members of the Smith family are still farming in this area?
Farming on there. He's the only one who lives on the farm. Mm-hmm.
Well, hell.
Yes, and niece.
You have a niece living on the farm also?
Yes, right. Ward lives out from Mottenham.
Are you the Ward. John M. in here? John M. Smith, is that you here?
Yes.
He's still a Republican?
I just noticed it said Republican. They always told what your politics was.
Yeah, there used to be a grandma used to tell a story about right down on the corner from us. There used to be a house sitting there across from where the preacher lived. His name was Ken Cannon. I graduated out of high school as his grandson. Grandpa was a strong Republican, he's a strong Democrat, and they had good friends. About 2 weeks before election, they wouldn't speak to each other. About 2 weeks after, we vote over there.
At one time, just east of the place out there, the family name of Rice had a few boys, and he and my father were good friends, but he was a Democrat and my father were a Republican. So they'd argue politics, good humor, you know. And so one day, my father's coming to town, and he told one of the boys he'd buy him a new pair of boots with Harrison on if he'd come back and holler for Harrison. Said he would, and he's a Republican the rest of his days. He just died a few years ago.
Benjamin Harrison, is that who that is?
The boy, Rice. I forget which one was, but he was Rice. All the rest of them Democrats, but this one, and he's a Republican. He always was a Republican. That's when Grover Cleveland and Harris were running in there.
What was your first election you voted in?
Well, sure, I couldn't tell you.
National one.
It's been, see, I'm 83 and it's been a few years ago. Mm. Never missed election, I guess, of any kind.
What township is this now? This is Raymond Township.
Ayers. Raymond, just a mile west.
But it was originally Raymond, it says in here, is that right?
Yeah, that's where I live out there. We're in Raymond Township. Lines right down there at the corner.
Well, they divided it, though, since you moved here, though, haven't they?
No, but...
What about Broadlands? I was always under the impression that you sort of founded this place, is that right?
It's in Ayers Township. We get our meal from Broadlands.
Yeah.
But we're in just a quarter mile in Raymond Township, that's Longview. I started to say something. That was what it meant.
I was interested in this in here that it would be your father. He said he was a free man from Alabama. I never thought there was any black people in Alabama there.
Yes, he is. There when he's a little fella, I think. He found a name McCullough owned him, I think, when he was about a pretty good sized lad. And the teacher, they sent him to school with their children, other children. The teacher got so she'd help him if any of the rest of the kids couldn't didn't know the lesson, but the teacher had asked little George to study in the back of the room. You know, he could tell them, and of course the children went home and told the folks, and then he had to, they made him stop letting him go to school.
Oh, really?
So he went taking care of a mill for them, I think some 15 miles from home, grist mill, stone burrs, and one of the neighbors there told him that he'd better leave because they'd come to kill him that night. He was too smart a man of his race. So he got out away from the mill at dark, about dark, and hid. The fellas come on a handcar, all right, but he wasn't there. So he went to the Union Army that night and went through with the rest of us, war with his disarmed rebel soldiers. And
well, that is him then that they're talking about. I was trying to read this and they, you get a little mixed up with who they're talking about it sometimes. So he was the one who...
disarmed rebel soldiers.
Yeah, it has that down here. Provost...
And they come spring, took care of General McClellan, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's McClellan, through the war.
Yeah, it says in here at the battle, he was a guide for the regiment of General Logan from Corinth to Jackson, Mississippi, and was afterwards detailed as a scout, yeah, to disarm rebels in the locality. His unusual intelligence recommended him to other officers of the Union Army. He was subsequently proffered the post of Provost Marshal of Jackson, Tennessee, and also an officer, adjutant general in the same place. He must have been a pretty smart man.
I started to tell you while I go down here to Ayers Township, right in this next mile out here, next 2 mile, it's not a full mile through there. They always told me, Dad, that his father told them when they surveyed the state of Illinois, they started the western part of the state, and they wasn't going to get through in time, so they started another bunch over the Indiana line. That's where they met out here. It's right a little short.
That sounds like makes sense.
See this, they come pretty close, though.
See, this tier section through here is of east half full of quarter section, quarter, and the west half is 100 acre tracts. Short that much. Mm-hmm. Should be 640 and they didn't find.
What is it? 6 foot?
Section 640. 620.
620.
Yes, 320. 320 is half. They always told me they run out up in the northern part of the state, but I never run across it yet. Mm-hmm. This section. But here it's short.
Hmm. I can't think what they call it. There's something they put in there for to take care of that, isn't there? I mean,
how's that?
Well, I think there's a way that when they do the sections, they were off anyways, and they used to have, I can't think what they call it, there's a name for it. And in order to correct it, you know, they'd find out, maybe this wouldn't be a corrected one. Would it? No, that wouldn't be off that much. Like they'd be going along at, 640? That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, 640.
So they'd be coming along, and suddenly they'd hit one that they couldn't quite make it, to make it even out at the border, so they'd even it out by taking some off from one and putting it on another and so forth.
See, section 640 in this section right here are supposed to be 200 acre tracts. It'd be 325-20, maybe a little bit over. Run that much short, you know. Mm-hmm.
The railroad was in here when you came in, though, wasn't it?
Railroad?
Yeah.
No, not that. My father came here.
Oh, really? It came after?
Mm-hmm. I think that'll tell you. I believe it didn't have.
Did you find the community of Brawland? You or your father found the community of Brawland?
I didn't get you.
Did you find, were you the first settlers here in Brawland? Give the name
of the
town.
Yes, there wasn't too many. Just headquarters out here. It used to be, I forget how many acres was in this tract of land, and they'd made a failure in trying to farm it and raise cattle, and they brought a bunch of cattle up in Texas once, and they all froze, just piled up on each other, a storm, you know. Mm-hmm. And they set this grove out. There used to be a walnut grove here and a cedar grove, half mile north. They set that out there so it'd be protection for the cattle and horse in the winter, you know. And that barn's out here half mile north, that was built there at that time, I think, or before. Hmm.
Why did the farmlands, why did they fail?
Well, the ground was too wet. See, it wasn't drained.
Now, did they drain it by building the ditches? And,
yes.
And then that drains it off and then it drains evaporates? Or,
and when I was a boy, the ditch that's 4 mile and a quarter north, they just drained that and that helped drain the other small places. This one east of the house out there, that was dug instead of the steers in the early day. Slip scraper and steers, you know, pulling.
I bet it was a devil plowing in the spring out here, wasn't it?
Sir?
I said, I bet it was a devil trying to plow up out here in the springtime in those old days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With the mud and everything, I suppose.
They wasn't tiled, you know, and you go up north of the place out there and come back with a white horse, it showed blood where the greenheads ate. Took the horse and they fly to the green head.
What was it like in the wintertime? Were you pretty much isolated in this area?
Well, my older sisters and brothers, they had to go to school the same as I did, 1.75 miles, and they could walk over the fences in the snow and so on. I remember once a fellow that I pitched her a They had scooped snow by hand that time so they could bury him down here south, where the bad places, you know. Of course, now they go along with the machine and push the snow out of the way. But that time, when these cattle all died, you know, the snow and everything, they just piled up on each other, you know. Smothered each other.
They were typical, the type of steers that were raised successfully in Texas.
Yes, in Texas, and shipped to grow through here.
What were the first type of steers that were successfully raised here?
How's that?
What type of steer was successfully raised here? A certain type?
Well, I don't know there's any particular kind. Takes out of here. Man by the name of Culberson owned quite a few sections of land. He brought some cattle over from England, shorthorns. No, wait a minute now. No, I believe they're Herberts. One of the two, and then he went back. I think they're Herberts, and then he went back and got some shorthorns.
When was this?
Sir?
What year was this?
I don't know. It was pretty near before my time, you know.
Oh, I see.
But the old place is 4 miles south of town and just west.
Farming's changed a lot since you were farming, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
You got bigger farms.
I think I'm one of the last fellows to drive 4 horses to town.
Really?
Kept a man in the winter and had to have something to do, you know. And the snow, more snow than there is now on the ground, and mud under it wasn't any freeze in it. And had a man, we just hitched up 4 mules and drove them to town just to be driving and giving exercise. You know.
Oh, really? You don't see the mules very often anymore.
No. Very few.
We were down in Tennessee. I saw a couple of mules, I think, about 2 years ago. They were real nice looking animals, too.
The last teams, I think I saw mules driving from Texas to World's Fair in New York. They passed through Newman here just south of me.
Mm-hmm.
I got a picture of them around here someplace.
Yeah.
They had covered wagons.
Yeah, they say that all the animals got killed with some disease, and that's when everybody went to tractors in this state.
How's that?
Somebody said, I remember once somebody told me that they had some sort of an epidemic and where the horses all died. And
I never heard
that. In the
20s
or something like that. And
they did cattle here one time. Let's see, what was they called?
Foot and mouth disease?
Sir?
Foot and mouth disease?
Yes. Between here and Champaign, they killed a bunch of cattle. Mm-hmm. Just right east of Philo, about 2 or 3 miles, buried him.
Do you remember when you first got your first tractor?
How's that?
When you got your first tractor?
When I got?
Yeah. Do you remember when you changed to a tractor or not?
You know when you got your first tractor?
First one he bought a new Ford tractor. I wasn't old enough to go to school. And he bought a whole new outfit. I'd go out and ride on with him plowing, because didn't have to guide it when he got in a furrow, you know, and then he turned on the end. He kept 1 year. He said, you're going to get rid of it. Next time he bought a tractor, he'd buy a tractor, because he couldn't get that thing started. He had to pull up and crank it, and Uncle would come down to his tractor and pull a brand new one, too. So then he got the next tractor he got was in 1933.
In 33?
Yeah.
When was the first time?
International Farm Hall.
When you said...
Well, I wasn't in school yet. I'm pretty sure I wasn't.
How was the marketing? How did you market things in those days? What did you do? Did you do it like you do it now?
Ever since I remember, hauled in here town to elevator.
To this elevator in Broadland?
Broadland. Then we'd all go together. would have a Shelton crew.
Yeah.
We'd help each other, you know. And we had one fellow west here we helped all four. We took his corn Longview. And then in later years, well, after Harry Allen went out of business here in Broadland, well, he had his, him and his son had elderly over at Allerton yet, so John Rothwell lived east of us, he'd haul his corn to Allerton. That's 6 mile and a half. Well,
when my father first come here, they hauled the corn to Newman and Homer, 10 and 12 miles.
Well, that's where the railroad was? That,
Yes, I guess, yes, railroad was through that then. My oldest brother, my half-brother, he and a family named McCall, Mike McCall, or his brother one, they took a load of corn to Homer once and got back in a couple of miles of Homer and got lost, home and got lost. They unhitched the horses and gonna stay all night and just camp there, you know. And then his brother, McCall's brother, got up on the crib and hung a lantern up there. Mm-hmm. And they saw that light, so they hitched up and come on home.
do you see any difference between the relations, like, between white and black in your day and today? Or?
No, especially, I don't know what to do.
In this area, evidently everybody got along all right.
Niece's husband, he just retired last night from the community club. He was president of the community club for a year.
In Broadlands here?
Mm-hmm. Jess Ward. And he was president for a year. Every fellow serves a year, you know. I used to have a horse show at the farm for a few years. We give a trophy away out there. I give everything we made to the Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. Two of the fellows, three of the fellows and I, we kind of run it. And we give a trophy for the spectator the greatest distance from home. First year that went 100 miles over at North Decatur to Mount Pulaski. After that, went to California 2 years and 1 year to Alaska.
Oh, really? Jeez, that's a long way.
This man that was, he's on the way back, that got twice, once at Mount Pulaski, once in California, he's on his way back. He stopped at his son's in Arkansas for a few days and he died there. So he's coming back to get that trophy.
Is this under a township, are you still under township government here?
Yeah.
You're still in a township?
Yeah, supervisor and road commissioner.
Yeah.
And township clerk.
I just wondered if Broadlands would, well, I didn't think it was
assessor.
Hmm? Yeah.
I have an assessor too.
Yeah, the tax assessor here. How many is there in this township? Anyways, I was trying to all together, about 350, I know it says in.
I couldn't tell you that.
How's that?
There's not near as many as there used to be because there's not near as many hired men as there used to be.
I was wondering about that.
When I started the grade school out there, there was 28, 30 in a grade school. And this 8 years I've been out there, you can see how a lot of fellows, their children was raised and they still stayed on the farm.
Yeah, you almost have to have, about 480 acres even. Look like you're doing anything now.
Yeah.
And do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
This man farming my place out there, he pulled in a year ago with a tractor and field cultivator, I guess, and planter. Maybe a disc, I don't know what he had, his fine tractor.
Had a disc behind one tractor, he had a field cultivator and an 8-row corn planter behind the other one. Tandem wheels on the back, two big John Deere's. I told her, we had the money of that equipment because we'd take us for a good vacation.
So does he own this person who farms on your land now, does he own a farm close by?
He rents one down south of town here, mm-hmm. 4 miles.
Then he's got 80 over here, Fairland.
Yes, he's got 80 over there now.
So he actually doesn't own any property?
He owns 80 acres.
Only 80.
As we know of.
And farms up on how much?
Well, there's a little section down there. And
a small section down here, 500 and some acres, and then 600, and he farms over 700 acres.
Are they leaving now? Is it cut, the number of people that are farming, the original farmers are on there? Going cutting down much fewer?
Because they're getting jobs in town.
Well, is it because they don't want to buy larger farms, or no one will sell the property?
You can't buy a farm no harder because $1.10 corn and $1,000 an acre for land, but that don't work very good.
Economics don't work good.
And I think corn is $1.10 or $12 today.
Or do they pay a rental, or do you get part of the product?
I rent for cash rent.
Is that standard?
Sir?
Is that standard, or do?
Well, it's getting to be a worse standard. They used to be half, give them half and pay half the expense.
Mm-hmm.
This man just offered me $45 an acre, and he'd pay everything.
So he has the equipment to do it, but is that it?
Sure. He has the equipment.
I don't know how many tractors he has. Yeah. That one big John Deere pull seven bottom plow. He pulled in there this fall. Had three, 1.5, 1.4, and 1.7. When you go down through the field, a half mile road, that much equipment it turns over a lot of black dirt.
Yeah.
Of course, where they're going to do it now, they're not even going to plow up anymore. They're going to seed right over the...
Yeah, they've got a lot of fall pond done this year.
I didn't follow it. They're going to what?
They're going to seed right over. They're not going to plow them up anymore. They're just going to seed right over the stubble. They've been doing that now.
They're fall plow.
That's a new one.
I didn't know that at all.
A lot of bean ground they don't plow anymore. You use field cultivator on it instead of plowing it and disc.
I guess
we'll
have
to talk next week. I've got to worry.
You were washed?
No. No, Dad and I farmed out there together. Okay.
This thing's an automatic record, so the compressor's in.
I was trying to get on his views today.
Probably that, and going back to his father, the progression from Tennessee to Springfield to here, if there's anything left on that. And then also
this is quite a thing. John could get a... get this photograph.
Well, here, you can just leave it here and just put it on that, or you think you want it more directional.
I wonder how come I wasn't getting any gain.
Yeah,
I think
I saw this in the paper. Is this a newspaper?
I expect it was.
Yeah. Oh, this was?
Yeah. That's your father, is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where are you?
Just down over food boy here.
It was a number of years ago, wasn't it?
You were born on the farm?
Yes. From the house that's across the road.
Did your family build the house, the big house?
Yes, in 95. That's time to have to go to the old room near the boss over him.
Where are you there? I don't let's see if I can pick him out. Is that him?
There.
Which one is you?
Here.
Right there. Oh, I
this is my lawyer. Mm-hmm. This is my brother in South America, mm-hmm. graduated class in U of I.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This fellow, he was a...
He's in South America now, did you say?
No, he passed. This one, he used to be, he'd wrestle anybody, I'd throw him, or he could box me, the one. He boxed champion in Nebraska in 98.
Oh, really? Huh. Very interesting. And this is your mother
sister,
and your sister.
Father and sister.
Are your sisters still living?
No, I'm the only one left in the family.
Hmm. Remember years back.
In 94 the house was built.
95. 95. Mm-hmm.
And now which house is this here?
It's out there.
That's the
Charles.
House.
Is this the one we just came from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like it, but
that's my half brother James.
Yeah.
Dan McIntyre, that is in 92 when he was running for county
supervisor?
No. Or
county clerk?
No. City editor. No. I think it was after bit up Champaign.
This was what was this band? The something band?
Yeah, band of Champaign. The Republican Party was riding around over the county, and they stopped my father for dinner.
Oh, I see. This is the band in front here.
Yes. This woman, she's living yet. She's 85, I believe. This one, Lisa, south north town here. She's living, and. There might be one or two of these children here living. Mm-hmm. This was Dan McIntyre, Brother Troy, and Jim Neal, brother-in-law. This is, I believe, Charlie Watts, I think. I'm not too sure about Tommy Burke, Judge Staley, C.N. Clark, and the rest of them I'm not too sure about.
Judge Staley, a member of the Staley family?
Yes. He was a judge there in Champaign one time.
And he's related to the Staleys from Decatur or what?
Yeah, no, it's around Champaign, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. Yeah.
Here's wife and half the farm.
Oh, yeah. Is that where your trophies?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is one day of the horse show out this place.
Oh, yeah. See, it's a good photograph.
This, let's see. One man sitting down right here, there, he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as that, all living as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's out at the farm. That was taken after the horse show, first year, 54.
Where are all those trophies now?
Out here in the other room.
Oh, in your other room out here?
Mm-hmm. County treasurer, what Dan McIntyre was running for in 1902.
Oh, for the treasurer's office?
Yes.
In 1902?
1902.
And the Republican Party? Republican Party, wasn't it?
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I guess they've always been Republican in Champaign County since Did you happen to know C. E. Phillips in town at all in Champaign?
Phillips used to be a postdoc there.
The reason he used to, I think one year he was, I know he was in politics a lot, he was when McKinley was running for senator there.
Yeah, I expect I knew him at the time.
Yeah, he went.
Phillips used to be there. Bought stock along Rock 10, you know, there in Alabama. Jim Phillips.
No, this is C.E. Phillips.
C.E. Phillips, right.
Might have been his father, you know.
He's the one who built, what is it? What is the name of the Birch Village? That isn't what he built.
No, Carver Park or
something. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
He used to be an insurance man. Son was an insurance man.
Oh, yes. Not that I recall, but.
He was about the same. He'd be contemporary with you. He would have been. How old would he be now? He'd be about
90.
Yeah, that's right. I guess he would have been around 90. Yeah, he, very interesting. Where is your father buried? Out here in the cemetery?
Right here in Newman.
Oh.
Just south of East Gate.
Oh, uh-huh. What is it, township? Cemetery?
No, it's owned by the, it's owned by anybody wants to buy a lot there.
Oh.
A brother one time, he surveyed part of it. And
oh, really?
Then we bought, myself and brother-in-law and my half-brother, we bought three lots right, you know where the circle is out there, between here and Newman, where the cemetery is?
I have kind
Stone
of
Stone fence.
Yeah, I have kind of a...
Our lots are right there, west of that circle.
Oh.
That's the last stone fence that fellow ever built.
Is that right?
He come around through the country and
different people had rock and stuff we'd haul down there, and he built that fence, and that was the last one he built. Nice job.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah,
it's
just...
I know some of the stuff from the back of the room, I guess not. Yeah, that's very interesting. Very interesting.
This fellow, if he'd had the equipment like they have today, basketball and football, and he's good, he's an athlete.
Yeah, he'd have made it, huh? Yeah. Those old photographs always mean how everybody's always so stiff and posed.
I judge I was about 3 years old there.
That your sister? Oh, those are your sisters there, aren't they?
Yeah, this
these are these two right here.
Yes.
Yeah, that must be that one right here, and the other one the other way.
Your father must have been a very successful farmer, and yourself also. But starting with him, was he a real successful farmer?
My father. Mm-hmm. He had 437 acres when he died.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot.
All paid in those days.
$5,000.
That's
a lot.
Yeah. Yes, he bought an 80, and then he bought 160 out there for Allen now, and then he bought the other later.
Interesting how many of them were in the Civil War. Practically all of them, weren't they?
Sure.
Interesting how many were in the Civil War. I was just reading.
Oh, yes.
Quite a few of them.
I guess a person could get that book rebound again.
Well, that's right, you could do that. This would be fairly valuable because it's probably the first edition of it. They have these in the Illinois Historical Survey, has county histories like this. They have, maybe they might have two or three of Champaign County.
Yes.
And what they do is they bring them up to date is all. So this would probably be in the other one and the new one. And they put them, I don't know when, every 50 years or so, or what they do. So this must have been the very first one that they did, though, for this county, anyway. See, when did Champaign become a county, I wonder? Well, it was before 1876, I'm sure. But.
Quite a number of the old places. Probably he didn't have enough money to have a picture put in, but...
Oh, really? They charge you for the...
Oh, yes, extra.
I was wondering about that.
I've got another one in there that seemed like it cost me $15.
To have the photograph put in?
Book. Yes, I had home out there.
I didn't know they did that. I was wondering how they got those photographs, but... it was a number of years back, they were still using tintypes. Oh, I see. Is this the kind of stuff you... That's Hensley Township and Condon Township. Compromise.
Shoes, one in there south of town, but buildings are all gone now.
Oh, yeah.
Where did your wife's family come from?
From Missouri. Avoz, Missouri.
Did you meet her here in Broadlands?
Springfield.
Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
You would travel into Springfield, you had relatives there?
Yes, had some relatives and friends attend the state fair.
Yeah. Well, that's where the state fair would be.
He used to drive his horse and buggy to Taylorville.
Really?
That's a long way.
That time I drove, I had one mare that bought at the mill stock farm. Boy, she's just green broke. She's 6-7 year old, but hadn't been worked any. I drove them to Tusco, Billy Grove, and had them shod, and then there at Tusco and stayed all night, and Decatur the next day by noon, and then on down 4 miles north of Tillamook in the afternoon. Then coming back, I drove all the way back one day.
In one day? Boy,
I killed one mare, but the other horse, he's used to it. The mare just stood in the barn there, you know, with a pile of down there, but the horse, I drove him around and raced him. Yeah. He's pretty fast.
Did he used to do a lot of racing, horse racing around?
Yes, he used to race, horse race on the roads, you know.
Is that right? And he had a lot of horse trading? A lot of horse trading?
Not so much trading, but he used to buy and sell them occasionally.
Yeah.
Come about time this fellow was racing this couple from out of south town here, and they'd go north and he couldn't pass them, so he told you to race them. You race them out of north town, clear up to Hart's Corner.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fellow, according to my father, we had horse and buggy looked a whole lot alike, both had new buggies. And I got out here around three-quarters north of town, I caught up with him. He had a lady with him, and he said, John, this fellow won't pass, or won't let me go. Won't let me pass, or won't let me go round him, or just speed up and keep me back behind. And I said, try him again. So I got in behind him, and he didn't notice the difference in the horses, no. I come up, after he got up the road a little while, I come up beside him, but we had a horse race, but I couldn't pass him. My horse was slick-shod, and his feet were in the hole, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd get behind him, got behind him in the second mile, and this horse of mine slobbered a great deal. I broke his jaw trying to hold him. He's hard on bits. Yeah. He's slobbering, and this fellow wouldn't let us go by, so I just got right in behind this fellow and his girl, and he stuck his head over between this fellow and the girl. I expect to ruin the clothes, but they never said anything about it. When he got in the third mile north, by he said he'd believe that enough. It happened, I said, we'll go farther. Took me all of a half a day the next day to clean my buggy up. Boy, you know, it's like for the outside of the track, just one beaten track, you know, and that's where my horse could stand on his feet. But he just took his head right in between them, and nobody never did let me know who it was. Even. I didn't know.
They used to wash their buggies and then carry them up and put them in the crib, keep them getting muddy. Just pick them up and carry them up there.
Oh, really?
Put them inside the crib.
When was the first fair in Springfield?
First fair? Sure, I couldn't tell you.
Did your father always go down to the fair also?
Not always, but he'd go occasionally.
Did you show things like certain crops or anything?
No. He was never much of a hand to show. My brother, he started in I don't know what it was. I'll show you another picture of a horse he had.
Is it hung up or
no?
Did he get it? It's hung up here.
What, I would say it sounds like your family is one of the oldest families in this area. Are there other families that are equally as old and long established in this area as your family is? Or if not, how does it feel to be the oldest established family in an area like this? It must be an odd feeling or a different feeling to have your family be so much part of it, so much a part of an area for so long.
Well, we went up to visit my daughter Christmas, stayed up in Chicago for a few days. I'm still just an old country boy. Of course, I never did like Chicago or St. Louis either one. Mm-hmm. So I had to go up there maybe for a few days to see something before I was living there. Of course, I suppose the fellow get used to it.
Is your daughter, you say your daughter lives in Chicago?
Yeah, she worked for John Hancock Insurance Company, a proofreader.
Oh, I see. Is that all? How many children do you have?
I got a boy. We got a boy. He's in Vietnam.
Oh, Vietnam? Mm-hmm. How long has he been there?
He'll be there a year in April.
Year in April?
Mm-hmm.
You expect that the Smiths will always be living in Broadland?
Well, I don't know. He wanted a farm, but didn't have enough farm. He couldn't make a living off 160. And you can hardly rent any land around here.
When did he decide that he couldn't make a living off of 160?
After he got out of high school. I told him he couldn't either, because he'd probably get married and then have some children.
You just can't make it.
No, there's a lot of people that can't make it with a lot more acreage than that.
Renting 160 and grading the family too.
Well, yeah. Your family sold their property gradually over the years, or our heirs would get parts of it and then they would perhaps sell it?
My uncle's wife, she sold his farm. And my aunt lives out in New York, she sold hers. Her daughter did, rather.
Here's the first horse that we started showing when the fairgrounds on in Champaign on 3rd Street.
Oh.
South 3rd.
This is
our south. South of Green.
Yeah.
The mother of that horse was stole here at the church tracks one night, Sunday night, and drove 110 miles in 20 hours over in Indiana. Got her Monday evening.
Somebody just hoofing it through the area, you decided to take the horse?
Yes, it just happened through here. Saw her in the morning, my brother drove her. He drove her 30 miles that day before the man stole her.
Is that when horse thief was punishable by death?
No, it wasn't. There's Brother Albert Gaines, that's the horse he had. This is the mare that's on that trip, she got retired.
That's a nice looking horse.
Friend.
Who is this?
That's a lady from the, used to be in Springfield. This is Wanda Lou Ziegler. She's quite a horseman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her and I have showed against each other lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Wanda Lou is a big woman.
Yeah, Shetland pony there. Yeah, that's a nice looking horse.
I bought that in the Doc Mills stock farm in Savoy when they're closing out the horses when Doc Mills lived there where the orchard is. Mm-hmm. It was across the road there.
Oh, yeah. Nice looking buggy, too.
That's the buggy that I was racing when got the old money.
Yeah. Is that right?
That looks like it was about turn of the century or something. 1885, 90.
No, it is.
Remember 1900.
It's probably, I expect that's 21 or 2 years old then.
About the turn of the century.
That'd be the turn of the century. That's when they used to do all that. Is that out here in this farm out here, you say?
Sir?
This is out here on the farm?
Yes.
The photograph?
Yes.
Wanda Lynn Ziegler. Screwdriver, is that what she calls herself?
Sir?
Screwdriver, is that what...
Yeah.
Is that was the name of the horse, or what?
I suppose it is.
That looks like it.
Yes, that's it. She wrote that. She always sent me a Christmas card.
Oh, yeah.
We've always showed it against each other as long as... One night was up Fisher showing, and says, come by and told me, he said, John, get your horse ready. He says, not another three-gated horse here. So we got our horses ready and went out and I won the class.
Oh, yeah?
She knew it went, but we was both getting the money out of it. So now my horse is a three-gated horse than hers.
It's hard to believe this is horse country
right here. Yeah. Brother and I had a pony ride to school. Dad would buy us a bicycle. He'd see buy something to do some good. While I sat on, ride on. Of course, all those kids at home yet then. We drove buggy till my sister got out. Older sister got out of grade school. And brother and I started riding. We wouldn't put the saddle on him. We grew him so much that where our leg rubbed on him, rubbed the hair off.
Oh, yeah.
He's the wellest pony you got run anything in the country.
Mm. Where did you just tie him up outside the school?
No, Dad and a neighbor, they fixed, their boys rode a pony in school too, and they fixed the shed on the side of the cob house. When we'd leave home in 10 minutes, we'd be in the schoolhouse. Mile and three quarters, and I don't know how come they ever kept him from breaking these wind, but he never did break these wind.
Had a nice little workout every day,
One Sunday morning we was going to drive him to Sunday school. He'd mean to catch some time. We had a halter with a long chain on where he'd step on it, you know. Well, he got wise to that. He'd hold his head sideways. So we all got out there to try to get him in the barn, out of the pasture, made a circle. And he got through, got out on the road. And so Dad got on his saddle horse and took after him, ran him about a half mile, well, to the corner east, and then about a quarter of a mile south, and then he turned around and come back, run that 80 across the road, this plow of ground. And Dad got him headed back toward the barn, but his saddle horse would give out. He took off the road west. Dad had a Maltese sedan, and he got me in the car and says, "Wanna go with me?" Took out after him. We caught him just before, you know where you fellas turned off the pavement west there? That's where we caught him, just before he got that pavement. Dad took the chain off of him and says, "Get on him and ride him home as hard as you can. That's 2 miles, 3/4. I said, "I'll be right behind you."
I can't help but think from listening to you talk that
had a fellow worked around here for the first year he come up here, he couldn't get a job, and finally got a job out here in the country for a man that couldn't keep a man. And this man, his name was Irving Brown, he was trained to my father and come. We had a hired man already, and he couldn't get any other job, so he went out and hired this man. James was his name, Lev James. And when he got out there in March, Lev had his son down cleaning out a well, cussing about every breath, I guess. And Jerry said, "Now, Mr. James, you can cuss your son all you want to, but don't cuss me." He worked there in the along in the summer. Another fellow working across the fence from him. And he says, "Brown, what time do you get up in the morning?" Oh, he says, "I don't know." I said, "Whenever Mr. James calls me." Says, so he borrowed this fellow's watch and kept had to let James see it, and he'd get them up 2 o'clock in the morning. Walking plows those days, you know. Mm-hmm. And across the fence, this fellow asked him, he'd get up at 4 o'clock, and Brown would be going to the field when he'd get up, you know, going to the field when this fellow would get up. And he worked for him 4 months, or whatever time it was, hired time for, 3 or 4 months. And when he got through, he used to come over to my father's, kind of called it home every Sunday, you know, and he told him, have him a job, and my father went to Champaign, got him a job on the sewer. Mm-hmm. As soon as he got nosed around, and he quit out there, got through, several fellows wanted him. He went to work for a man a mile north of town, half east, worked there, I think, 5 years. Mm-hmm. No trouble after he got acquainted, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it's true, there wasn't as many people either. I think, see, what Phyllis was saying in Champaign over 1900, it wasn't too bad even there, I guess. Is that right?
Well, I don't hardly know many people in Champaign.
See, how
don't
old
go there enough.
Yeah. What about on work on the railroad and so forth?
How's that?
How about people who worked on the railroad and so forth in here? Were there many of those black or?
No.
There weren't any of them?
I don't know how, but when they put in the storage in the gas lines a year ago, I guess pretty near 2 years ago, there's some colored people on the job then. One fellow, he's one of the bosses. Mm-hmm. And this fellow over at Allerton, I saw him here a while back. I had heard of it, but I hadn't saw him until here a while back. He'd been working in the cob plant over at Allerton over in Pasota and some ever since he got acquainted and was on the sewer line here. So he's a fine fellow.
What about food? I hear a lot about soul. Are we running out of tape?
Yeah, we should put another. You got another reel?
Yeah.
I was going to talk about soul food. They talk about soul food today, Chitlin.
Tell
like
what?
Soul food, S-O-U-L, soul food.
Soul food?
Yeah. What they call in soul food, Mr.
I don't think I would either.
Chipmunks either. I never.
Never had any chipmunks?
No.
Now, what? I've forgotten what the chipmunks
are. The intestines.
Chipmunks are the intestines.
Yeah. Kind of stomach or large. I know mom has cleaned them, sent them to her sister.
Is that the same thing as tripe?
Oh, really? Is that right?
No, it's not the same thing as tripe.
No, it's not the same thing as tripe.
You know, a lot of that food, which, as Dick and Harry said, is called soul food, but my family is farm family, and I think it's basically farm food. It seems to me, because they all ate that type of food.
That's where it came from. When down south, when you had a hog, you like
that's right.
Like Mr. Smith said, Charles said, you cook a hog and you ate every bit of it.
But there seems to be a part of our program is going to look into the area of soul, you know, quote. Because there's a certain soul stands for a certain thing, and...
Chickens, they eat anything, you know, but other things won't do it.
No.
Chickens, by the fellow said, you just eat anything. One time, we had some company coming to Taylorville one Sunday evening, unexpected, and my wife called me out in the kitchen and said, well, let's serve them. I said, you got some head cheese, haven't you? Well, I said, I hate to serve that. And, I said, they don't eat it, but I said, they can do without. But when they started on, they pretty much ate it all up. My wife had made it, I think they used liver probably in the head and so on.
Grandmother used to make it too. They butchered maybe 2 to 3 pigs, something like that, per year, and we always had good old head cheese. It was delicious. You can buy it in the markets now, in delicatessen sections of stores, and it's close, but it's not quite.
No, it's not like
homemade.
Same way they call souse too.
Yeah.
That's made with pig ears and hog's head and pig feet and gels, you know, and slices it all.
Fella gave me a couple of liver the other day for a couple of meals, he said. I haven't cooked it yet. Give me a beef tongue, and then I got the oxtail. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cook that some of these days.
What do you do with your beef tongue?
Cook it, boil it, cook it.
What, you boil it?
Boil it. After it's cooked, then pull the skin off of it, you know, and slice it for sandwiches.
It's like corned beef, isn't it?
Well, it might be. I don't know if they ever ate any corned beef.
The beef tongue's high now.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Get them almost for nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's like liver. We used to give you liver.
My wife and I, we like beef tongue here once in a while. Let it slice off, make cold cuts out of it, eat it with crackers and stuff like that.
What about oxtail, or is that what you said?
I didn't get this quite done the other day, and so I put it back yesterday, and I forgot about it, and I scorched it just a little bit.
I never always heard about oxtail soup when I was a kid, and it just moved the beef soup to me.
That's right.
Same thing.
Yeah.
The other area of soul food is the greens, collard greens. And whatnot. Do people actually grow collard greens?
Yeah,
or is that
down south. When I first started going down there, they locked monitor down there and did now, last few years, have collard green maybe all winter out in the garden. Black-eyed peas, I used to go down there quail hunting every year, and you find a pea patch, most of you find a covey of quail around someplace. Hmm. Well, they always did eat a lot more boiled food down south than they did up here, which I think more boiled food is better for you than fried food.
Well, because you're boiling off the fat, aren't you?
Well, you're not getting all that grease either.
Yeah. And generally, they had pork, didn't they?
The poorer people had the lesser cuts of pork with the most fat on them, I would imagine, so they had to boil it off.
This, I wouldn't want to go on the fire, but
don't worry, we cut it off of it.
I go to play bingo with Powell or something.
What they call going through a revolution period to change, make big changes in their lives.
Well, I don't pay much attention to them. I've been Minneapolis, you see lots of mixed marriages.
Mm-hmm. Why up in Minneapolis? Any particular reason why they're...
No, I guess not. Only just a little farther north. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's more so than it used to be.
What do you think of mixed marriages?
Oh, I don't know. Paul told me the other day, he said, they lied to each other. I said, didn't see any difference.
Well, they have many organizations in Champaign now that are seeking to affect some changes, even within Champaign, and of course, they represent the changes that are going on all around the world. Various organizations that are doing some good, but of course, the way they say it is such that it, in the eyes of a lot of people, it rubs them the wrong way.
Yeah.
What do you think of them?
I think some of them go too far with it. And some of it isn't necessary. This fighting and so on, I don't think that's necessary.
Well, of course, they think that they're really doing some constructive things, changing their way of life, and perhaps they are.
I think it's just kind of like the union. The union's got its good points and got its bad points. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's good groups and there's bad groups. Mm-hmm. It's just like the all people. There's good people and bad people in every race.
Who would you pick out like Roy Wilkins of the NAACP or the late Dr. Martin Luther King, of all those, who would you, for all those people you can think of, even go way back further in history, would you pick out as sort of your kind of...
One day I was showing up at Danville. My buddy then, we bought one of the tickets for the show, you know. And next day, when the show come, I understood this to have a basket dinner, but we didn't see any of them last night. We had our dinner stuff anyhow, nobody else. So. They said you have to be a member of the club to finally to show, you know. So I was there. When they said that, but I had my membership card already in the box or handy. And they couldn't say anything else. But when they went to show him, in the class I should have won, they turned it down. Tied old Western horses, you know, didn't tie in English. My eyes showing English. So, I knew it was up, so I just got the lady to show me the ticket, the membership. She rode for me the rest of the afternoon. She went over to that she did. Mabel Gorham, her name.
You always found a way to work around it then?
Yes, I was going. She could ride, a good rider, and so that didn't bother me a bit. Then another day down Westville, they accused her and her riding the same horse in both passes, but she rode my horse in one pass and she had a sorrel horse too and she rode him in another. But, oh, you get into all kinds of problems.
You did your own riding then, is that right?
Practically all the time.
You've been a pretty good horseman.
One night it was down shoring down at Brockton, east of Brockton, and I'd slipped off a wagon tongue and fractured a couple of ribs, and I couldn't ride, and my buddy rode that night, and the judge turned him down because they had chain in the horse's mouth. He come to him and apologized after a while, said I didn't know an English horse was supposed to have a chain under the bit. He didn't know that. I was over to Bloomington one day, and one Sunday late in the fall, my trailer top was about rotted off, and it looked pretty windy day, and it was just about tore to pieces. And I got parked, and lawyer parked next to it, had a nice pan of riding suit on, you know, and everything. And I just had my overalls on, I got ready to show. I got my horse out and put on my suit of clothes and got, when I got out in the ring, they sent us around the time or two, the judge did, and finally lined us up. And when he got on to me, he says, now, Mr. Smith, what do we do next? He had on a Western outfit, you know, but he didn't know what the English horse done with. I said, bull trot and canter. So he started us all out again, you know, and anyway, I had won then.
You rode an English saddle, is that right?
Sir?
An English saddle.
Yes, I rode an English saddle all the time. So he started us all out again and lined us up, and I got first. And when I got back to my trailer, this lawyer was parked next to me. He said, I didn't know he had a horse and like that.
What church do you belong to in this area?
Sir?
What church do you belong to in this area?
I'll be honest about it, I don't guess I belong to any, but I go to the Methodist Church once a great while.
We belong to the Methodist Church, straight down.
Is that the church
down.
We passed?
Straight on down the street.
That was Elizabeth.
New church over there, and they kept inviting me over there. I went over there a couple times this year, just to be going. Mm-hmm. Then, went to the Methodist Church. The kids gave me a ring last year for Christmas, but not my kind, but it's a ring. Western saddle.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed that, and I was wondering what it was. Well, it seems appropriate that it would be a Western saddle.
It wouldn't be appropriate if it's an English.
That's the only one I could. That's the one I ever saw.
That's the only one I ever seen. Yeah. Anybody ever think of
it? I saw it. My wife and I saw it. I saw it first, and I called over and showed it to her, and then I asked her how much he wanted for it. And he told me that was a little bit too much for my pocketbook, so I called brothers and sisters, and they said they'd chip in. So we got it, didn't even have to fit him.
How much of your family is still around just in this area? We never did ask.
Just out dad and I think?
Yeah.
I'm the only one around. I got a sister lives in Elgin. I got a sister lives in Minneapolis, and a brother lives in St. Paul. He farmed down south here to 47, and he had hay fever and asthma, so he went up north.
So you're the last two, really, of your generation, I guess you'd call it.
The Smiths, of course. He's got a niece out here. She's got two boys, and then one of her boys got three children.
Mm-hmm. This seems to be kind of the story of farms now these days, though, I think, isn't it?
Huh?
This seems to be the kind of the story of farm families now. It used to be the farm family pretty much stuck together. Yeah. They're at least in the same area now. People are going off.
Now you say you have about 150 acres, right?
No, 160 out there, Dad. Yeah.
If you were to pick a crop, what crop would you plant on that 168?
I put out corn and soybean.
And if you planted the whole 160 with that, or as much as you could, and you harvested an average crop from it, and sold it at what would amount to lately the average price for those items, how much money does 160 acres bring in?
Well, it all depends on the year. How much fertilizer fills your corn. Now, this fellow's been farming a place 2 years, and he'd been putting it all on corn. Mm-hmm. But he'd been putting on a lot of fertilizer. And he told me, of course, corn went up since then. And he just got back to Minnesota on vacation. He come up there right after he got home, looked, had some sheep up there. And he says, it's 80-some cents his bid for new corn then. And he said, I got to make over 100, make 100 bushels before I make anything. Of course, the corn's up to $1.11 now.
100 bushel an acre?
Yeah.
It used to be, if you got 60, 70 bushels, you had a big crop.
Yeah.
Well, you got to use some fertilizer. And put the old horse manure on, and cow manure out. That's all the fertilizer we use.
Well, you always had some laid over, too.
Then what'd you do, keep some pigs, swine, or your own livestock for your own use or something? Or?
Used to always have hogs and cattle.
Did you ever go to, what did you go to the store for? Any other, when you were a kid and your father was farming the lands, did you get all of your food off of the farm?
No, we had to buy sugar and like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Staples, pretty much.
Yes, they used to make a little cane molasses through here years ago. Used to be a fellow here in Broadland I accused him of, I couldn't say for sure, but said he didn't take a bath very often, and also he had a building he made to raise chickens in the spring and fall, and then he make molasses in the same building.
Did he sell
very much molasses? He started out one time and dug he was going to make a fish pond south of the ditch. Here in town, and he hauled it through the little spots and streets, especially in this 2 blocks south of it, built down the streets, you know. Had a little horse and a big horse, he hauled it. And his arm looked like the other one, his sleeves rolled up and looked like his about ready to scale off. You know. Fellow, 3 months, said he didn't have to worry. The girl's got a look, said the old man looks so good.
I know who you're talking about now. you know, there's a fellow, he's dead now, but we got to talk about old time. So they had a restaurant here in town, and wait till everybody went home, we'd get a bunch of them loafing in there, and they'd go out and steal some chickens in the restaurant. So I'd fry them up for them. So one night he went out and he got him a couple of chickens. It was dark. Said he'd going down the alley just to run, and so the first thing you know, he run into somebody. He, this little fella, knocked him down. This other fellow says, "Who are you?" He told him. He says, "Who are you?" He told him. This other fellow says, "What do you got?" "I got some chicken." The fellow says, "What do you got?" "I got some coal." He'd been down to the lumber yard and stealing coal. He was the justice of the peace. They said that went on good till them. Got to run short on chickens and got to steal the restaurant man's chicken. And I stopped.
That was the end of that.
Well, we certainly appreciate the time that you allowed us to spend with you this afternoon, both of you gentlemen. And,
don't know whether to do you any good or not.
Oh, I think so. I'll give you a call on the phone pertaining to the filming, and we'd like to be able to shoot some film and have you recall some things that you mentioned that we have on the tape. We'll pick them out and then add anything else that you might think of or that we might get to in conversing at another time. So,
thing when you come in again, why they call me ahead of time, because once in a while I go downtown.
Oh yes, we'll call in advance for sure.
Yes.
You still get into town once in a while, huh?
Oh yes, go downtown. Yeah. Don, y'all got dinner today.